Well, a couple little notes here. First of all, a little thank you, our traditional shout-out. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Those of you listening on your favorite radio stations across North America, 615 strong. Thank you, Coast Insiders, Sirius XM Channel 146. And then the various chat rooms that are out there, there's one called Coast to Coast Elite, Fantastic Forum 2, Imagine of Worlds, Into Infinity, National Radio Club, Sorcery, IRC, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie back with you, along with our entire staff. And you know, by the way, at the end of the program every night, I thank the staff that we have working here. And they've been with me for 14 years, too. Truly remarkable. They've been with the network longer than I have. They were assigned to other programs, but then when I took over Coast to Coast and they had an opportunity to work on that show, they all jumped at it. So at the end, of course, we always mention who they are and what they are. We'll talk a little bit more about them individually on my Friday night show, December 23rd, which apparently is a holiday for a lot of places. It's considered the Christmas Eve in terms of days off from your work. So you might get a day off. So join us that night. And by the way, this weekend, Richard Serrett will be on Saturday, and I'll be on Sunday night for you. Let's go to the phones. Brad is truck driving in Michigan and happens to be a first-time caller. Hi, Brad. Go ahead.
George, how you doing?
Great.
Hey, I got a story to tell you that I've never told anybody before, because I was afraid to, but since I've listened to your program, I'm not afraid anymore. So I
have, all right, fire away.
I tell you.
Okay.
Back in 2006, my son's mom passed away from a drug overdose.
Oh, God.
And he found her. So he called me up, and when he called me up, I went up there and I got him out of there and everything and stuff like that. And, you know, and 6 months later, he passed away.
Oh, my God. How old was he, Brad?
27.
Oh.
I found him in his bedroom from a drug overdose.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even want to know what he died of or anything. But anyway, as the story goes on, the night before he passed away, we were watching a Detroit Tigers game. And it was the night that Justin Verlander threw a no-hitter.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
And he was on drugs that day, and we were kind of talking and stuff. And he says, "Pappy, you don't have to worry no more about me." And then, of course, the next day. But he told me that it was a couple of days before Father's Day, and he told me that he had a Father's Day present for me. And, of course, I didn't know what it was, you know, because of what happened and stuff. But then I found out he had a little girl.
Oh.
And, you know, it was, that he never met, that was out in California.
Your grandfather.
Yeah. She's, in fact, she's, Jackie's 10 years old right now. And I had this moment a couple years after Philip had passed away and stuff like that, where I was in the kitchen and I had opened the refrigerator and something happened to me. Something went through me or something. I have no idea what it was. But it was the most god-awful good feeling that it was like I was free from everything for just that split second. And it just took me to my knees. And since I've been listening to your program and the guests that you have on there and stuff like that, I believe that something passed through me. And I don't know if it was Philip's spirit or what was going on. And I've been afraid to tell people about this, because I didn't know if I was nuts.
You're not nuts, Brad, that's for sure.
You know? And so as time went on, my dad was in radio for 30 years. And
In Michigan?
Yeah, Michigan.
Whereabouts? Because, you know, I was born in Detroit.
Yeah, he worked at, he worked back in the day when they used to do radio, when you did everything, the cells, the
yeah.
All of it, and he's had Doris Day on there and stuff. His
wow.
name was Sandy Curtis at the time.
What, was he in Detroit radio?
Yeah, he was on WJLB and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it was a nice station.
Yep, and then he went up to Flint for a while, and then he was on WXOX out of Bay City. and you ended up in Tower City.
All right.
Carol Broadcasting.
Yeah.
Well, I developed this program on Sunday nights called Sunday Night Blues, and I named it after my kid.
Hmm.
And I call it Sunday Night Blues with Philip Ryan. That was his name. And we just celebrated 5 years of being on the radio.
That's fantastic.
And I've been wanting, you know, I've had this new job. I drive overnight, and I heard about Coast to Coast, you know. So I tuned you in, and I've been listening for the last 2 months. And the guests that you have on there have been fantastic. And what they're talking about is what I want to know. I want to know if my kid's all right. I just, you know, it would relieve me in such a way that, you know, because since he died, I mean, you lose interest. You lose a lot of things in life. That when you look at somebody, you don't look at them the same anymore.
Well, what you went through, Brad, is the toughest thing anybody could do, and that's a parent losing your kid. It's my single biggest fear. I've got three children. And now I've got six grandchildren. It's my single biggest fear. I don't want to have to go through what you went through at all. So I can feel for what you went through, but I'm glad that you're doing the right thing, I think, to just make this happen. And you're right. I mean, he's probably in a better place now in terms of away from the pain and suffering he was going through emotionally.
Yeah,
and you know, he's probably listening. He probably listens in on the radio show that you do.
Well, when I wanted to dedicate the show to him, a lot of people tried to talk me out of it, and I just couldn't do it. You know,
you do what's in your heart,
right? You know, and then you know, one day, a couple years ago, when I had Jackie, and I bring her back here in the summertime, and.
So you keep in touch with the little one?
Oh, all the time.
Great.
Yep, on Facebook and everything.
Does she call you Papa?
No, she just calls me Grandpa.
That's good.
And then, you know, to make this a little short, when I was teaching her how to ride her bike, and we went down the road where my son is buried. And I said, "Do you see what that sign says over there?" And she goes, Is that where my dad is?" And she took off on her bike.
Wow.
And we stood there and in front of his grave, and we talked about him, and she looked at me, and she goes, "Do you think my dad would like me?"
How precious can that be?
You know? But, George, I can't express how much that I can call up and tell you about this, because I don't ever talk to anybody about what happened to my kid and stuff, because sometimes I don't know if they understand or if they even really want to understand or what, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get you. I do. You feel free to call anytime, Brad.
I really appreciate it, George. And I tell you what, listening to your program in the last couple months have really, really opened my eyes.
Super. That's what we're there for, to help you. Have a good holiday, Brad.
All right, thank you.
All right, great. Yeah, if you're a parent and you know what he went through, it's the toughest thing. It really is. I can feel for him, but he sounds strong now. Let's go to Barbara in Los Angeles. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, George. I just wanted to say that I'm an agoraphobic. You know, I've called before about that. And I just wish that my doctor would treat me with dignity and respect instead of just a bag of symptoms. And
well, some doctors will, some won't. They don't understand personal, you know, feelings. Some of them are pretty cut and dry. It sounds like that's what you've got.
Well, the thing is, it would go a long way to being healing for me if she would just listen to me as a person.
Well, get a new doctor, Barbara.
Well, okay, this is the thing. I'm with an HMO, and I've tried different ones, and I kind of settled on her because I just got tired of looking. But I did have a good doctor for about a year or two, but she left the system. But she was great. And
well, was this one any good? I mean, on a 1 to 10, what would you give her?
The one I have now?
Yeah.
About a 3.
Oh, get a new doctor then.
Well, anyway, I just think that the psychiatrist's field should really treat their patients with dignity and respect. It would be so healing. It's not just my doctor.
No, you're right. You're right. If you don't have a doctor that's compassionate with you, get a new doctor. I mean, it takes some time to look for it, and that's true because of insurance. It might be tougher for you, but you know, you've got to find somebody who cares about you as a person.
You know, Dr. Bragan and Dr. Orloff, they're kind of the exceptions to the rule.
They're good people, and they care. Thanks, Barb. Keep in touch. Tom, what do we have? Text, tweet?
We have a tweet, but I wanted to ask you, have you ever seen Snakes on a Plane?
Yes. I hated that movie.
I knew it.
I don't like snakes. And, you know, I could tell that Brian was a little disappointed
I know.
When I didn't say, I love snakes. I was going to say, I like clowns more than I like snakes.
Well, that's saying something, because yeah. You don't like clowns.
Exactly.
I never heard that turtle story, though.
I mentioned that. You probably had the night off when I mentioned it several years ago. But, yeah, I was a little boy, you know, just a kid.
Yeah.
I'd have pet turtles all the time, and I was feeding this thing, and he bit me. It didn't hurt, but it looked horrible. I mean, picture a turtle on the end of your little 6 or 7 year old finger, and your entire finger is in his mouth. And he's right on the tip of it, of course. And he won't let go. He just chomped down on it. And I'm trying to pull him off, and I'm crying. And he won't let go. So I just decided to use my arm, and I flinged it like I was throwing a baseball. He was the baseball. And he goes flying off my finger, and he hit the wall. And he hit it so hard, his shell fell off. I mean, like... It, like, ripped right off him.
Let me tell you why I was surprised to hear you say that real quick. Because when we did an episode of Beyond Belief, I had an animal communicator, and you'll remember this.
I remember the turtle.
The turtle, because the tiger didn't show up. We had set for
and
a tiger.
And the turtle understood me.
But, yeah, you were like, this is cool. So that's why it surprised me that you got
The turtle and I really got into it with each other.
You did.
I mean, and it was a female turtle.
I don't know.
That's why. She liked me.
It was Gil's turtle. This is a tweet from Carrie Ann. I love this question. If you could be invisible for 24 hours, what would you do?
I am not telling you that answer.
Well, no. Why? What would you do?
Never mind.
Would you?
If I could be invisible?
Yeah. What would you do with that ability?
I'm not going to tell you.
Would you fight crime? Would you?
No. No, I have my own motives and what I would do with it, and I'm not telling you.
No kidding.
That's right.
You surprised me.
What would you do?
I honestly would go to the government and I would say, how can I help our country with what I can do?
If you were invisible.
Oh, that's an amazing thing. You know how that would help us?
What could you do if you were invisible to help our country?
Oh, they could plant me right in the middle if there was a war going on, and I could walk straight up to guys and grab their weapons and throw them. You could do all kinds of things.
Somebody would eventually shoot where you were and hit you.
If you're invisible, it's going to go right through you.
You know what? I think if you're invisible, you're actually physical. People just can't see you.
I don't think so.
Oh, I do.
Did you ever see Hollow Man?
I didn't see Hollow Man, but I've seen some. The Invisible Man, you remember that one? You were probably a two-year-old.
Yeah, I didn't see it. But watch Hollow Man and then tell me what you think.
I mean, because if you're not solid, how could you then grab a rifle away from somebody?
That's a very good question.
See,
however,
you have
Hollow
that
Man,
physical,
though,
you have that physical thing about you. People just can't see you. So, you know, in theory, if somebody threw red paint on you,
then they could see you.
You'd see you. Yep.
That's what they did in Hollow Man.
Yep. That's it. Okay, thanks, Tom.
Okay.
Steve, truck driving in New Mexico. Welcome to the show. Hi, Steven.
Hey, George, I'm in Arizona now. So. well, yeah, you know how that goes. The gentleman that called in, it was asking about sucking the venom out of a snake bite.
Yes.
The individual would have to be gargling with the stuff pretty much for it to affect him that much. Might get a little on the sickly side, but beyond that, no.
Okay. Wouldn't kill him. Might make him sick, but won't kill him.
Yeah, yeah. You had I heard a show last weekend where there was a discussion about time travel, and the comment came up that you would have to be able to sort out where you were going to come back to, because the Earth is in motion. it would seem to me that you, the entire thing would be set up to where when you go into that time stream, you'd have to have some kind of device to bring you back out of it.
In the same spot and, that you started from, right?
Exactly. And yeah. Because those devices would be there when you came back out of it, there shouldn't really be an issue with that.
The old Time Machine movie was great for that because you could see all the changing things where he was, but he was in that stationary position.
Well, and see, it wouldn't require the kind of energy to move the machine because as you move through time, the machine's still going to be there.
Right, exactly.
And another comment I wanted to make, in that same show you were discussing tears in time.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I actually experienced, and I just chalked it up to I was still half asleep.
What happened?
Well, I was driving across New Mexico. It was between Santa Fe and Springer. There's a parking area there, and I stopped there to get some sleep, and I got up and went to jump down out of the truck to do my walk around, and I got down, turned around, and there was no road. The sensation felt like it went on for a long time. I'd be surprised if it was much more than about 10, 15 seconds. And, you know, I stopped, rubbed my eyes, looked again, and everything was back to, what it should have been when I got out of the truck. It was eerie enough that I have not stopped at that spot again.
It is weird. And how do you explain it?
You don't. And, it's one of those things where you just, if you tell people about it, they're going to look at you like,
When we would get, we'd get calls from people who said they were going to have a head-on collision, and all of a sudden they kind of like went right through the car like nothing happened, and they, came out the other side. I mean, who would believe that stuff? It's amazing.
Nobody, unless they've experienced themselves.
That's right. That's right. Great story, though. Hey, thank you very much. Continue driving. He was on hold for an hour. He went from New Mexico to Arizona. Let's go to east of the Rockies. Let's go out to Mahoney City, Pennsylvania. Wesley's with us there. Hi, Wes. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you tonight, George?
Good. Good. Hope you are, too.
I was just calling in tonight just to share an experience I had last night.
Okay.
I was about an hour from getting ready for work, and I was just sitting down to watch a movie. All of a sudden, I heard this really loud noise from underneath my bedroom. So I go through, I go downstairs to investigate to see what it is. And it's my sandblaster. It's plugged into the wall.
Okay.
Going full steam. No one else is in there.
Oh, it's running by itself.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So I go and I hit the light on, and I see in the mirror this woman right behind me. But as I turn back around, there's no one there.
That's freaky. What did she look like?
It was dark, I couldn't really see a face. She was just.
But you just knew there was something there.
Yeah, I was freaked out until I got to work.
Wow. How freaky would it be if it wasn't plugged in and it went on like that?
That would be pretty crazy.
Yeah, those weird things happen like that all the time, all the time. We got to do a show on just things like that, too. Freaky events that have occurred. Anyway, we're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with our final segment of Open Lines. God, this was a fast night. We'll be right back. Well, as we roll now into December, here we go. Fast year. Maybe the fastest ever I've experienced. Maybe you have felt that same way, too. On our next Coast to Coast program, Richard Serrett will be your host with some great guests, and then I'll be on Sunday night with a couple guests as well. Then we'll get your week going again come Monday, so stick with us all week long. I think we may be the only syndicated show that's live 7 nights a week. That's pretty darn good. We're going to come back. We'll take your final calls, open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines. Let's get right to the phones because this half hour is going to take off too. James in St. Louis. Hey, James, welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, George.
Good to have you with us.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious. I've wondered this, and I've been building my own conclusion. And it seems like the house that I live in is extremely haunted, and the young couple were madly in love, and I've got the proof there's several love letters, and it's almost like a parallel to my life. You know, it almost seems like they've, you know, used our bodies as hosts.
Wow, they're like living through you.
Yes, and I mean, some of the things he's written back from the 70s and 80s are almost identical to the things that happen to me right now. He was a, from what I understand, a brilliant singer and a prolific, you know, writer, and it's just amazing. You know, he's written stories about extraterrestrials, you know, time travel. It's so strange, and the fact that, you know, I happen to be into that and, you know, curious about those things.
Yeah. When did he die, Jim?
I think it was the early 80s, and his wife died shortly thereafter.
And do you live in St. Louis proper or one of the subs?
About 15 minutes on the Illinois side.
Illinois, okay. All right, I know the area pretty well, obviously.
But yeah.
This is weird. So now, is she living through anybody else?
Yeah, actually, my girlfriend, it seems like the characteristics are seem to be the same. I mean, he writes about how madly in love he is, you know. Obviously, you know, I'm in love, you know, but the thing is I haven't really written about it, but it's almost like he's taking the words right out of my mouth sometimes.
Wow.
And, you know, some of the things you guys talk about, I mean, like, for instance, he talks about, like, ancient Rome and Greek literature and, like, mothers of various famous or infamous historical characters are portrayed, like, as bearers of extreme sorrow or anxiety.
Did he die in the house?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And I'm... my roommate that I live with, he actually thinks the house is haunted, and of course, you know, I'm always got to be skeptical about it.
Sure.
And
at any point, have you felt in any danger?
No, and that's the strange thing. I don't. Well, on occasion, but like I don't know. I feel safe in a sense. Like I'm, like I said, if he's taken over me as me being a host, maybe that's why I'm drawn to here. I don't know. Maybe I'm.
But he sounds like he was a good guy.
Oh, he was. He was definitely a good guy, and it was my roommate's best friend, actually. And
oh my gosh,
they were in a band together, and he sang, and so and it's kind of like that's the same thing that I'm, you know, I'm in the same situation. It's almost like a reincarnation of some sort, but very strange. And I've actually, as I've been looking around, I've been finding a lot of his old stories, and just science fiction, and they're so relevant to what's happening right now. It's almost, you know, like a prophet of some sort.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Okay, keep us informed on this. This is fascinating.
But
do you find your personality or your individual feelings of life fading away and you're being taken over, or it's something like you're sharing?
Well, in a sense, I feel like I've lost. I don't know where my personality or my, you know, my ability and my skills, you know, they're there. It's like in the back of the mind, but it's almost like that presence is more overwhelming, and I'm becoming either someone different or that person. You know, I'm not sure because I don't, you know, I'm here on Earth. And
might he be slowly taking you over?
It very well could be. I mean, I don't know how it works on the other side. How
wow. What was his name, his first name?
Dave Young.
David. So if I get a call from David in St. Louis talking about how he took someone over, it would have been you.
Very eerie.
All right, let's keep in touch on this one, James. Fascinating. Judy's in Melbourne, Florida, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Judy.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
It's been a long time since I had a chance to speak with you, dear.
Yes.
Hello? Are
yes,
you there?
I sure am. I'd never hang
I'm
up
sorry.
On you.
I walked away from my base of my phone, and it just kind of gave me a static ring.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm going to ask you, if your listeners may be aware? You know how they have those DNA testing kits to find out what your ancestry is?
Yeah.
What do they do with the results after that? They don't just give them to us. Is it put in a bank somewhere?
They probably put it in a computer. I think they throw the kit away.
Well,
I mean,
yes,
they don't want your spit or anything like that.
Is it a way of tracking who we are, what composite we're made of?
They may have it. They may store it somewhere.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And what do they plan to do with this information?
Well, I'm not sure they sell it, but you never know.
Well, you know, it's very concerning to me because I'm saying, suppose they wanted to, in the future, create a clone of me, and they have all the DNA results that they could possibly make to generate.
I wouldn't mind having two Judys listening to the show.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, where does it go and where is it stored?
What if it's a secret plan?
We need this information.
What if it's a secret plan to DNA everybody?
Well,
and they'll have it.
That's what I'm asking. Do any of your listeners know what happens, or you, or?
No, they keep. I know they keep it. They don't get rid of it.
Well, no, they don't. And it's just one more thing to know a little bit more about me and who I am.
And the question is, who would have access to that?
My medical history somewhere? Is it going to be used to identify who we are and how we're going to get our health benefits in the future? I don't know.
You know, that's a good question. Now you're making me. Now I got to think about something over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, Jude.
About my age, George. You're born in the same year.
All right. When's your birthday?
July 19.
All right. Well, we've got another one coming up.
I know, dear. We'll be 67 this year.
It'll be going fast enough, but I'm like Benjamin Button. I think I act like I'm 25. Of course, I feel not like I'm 25, but Tom, how old do you feel? Anyway, back there.
About 30, 25.
I am getting like Benjamin Button. I go to events and people say, God, you look much younger than your pictures.
Well, that's good.
And stuff. Yeah. I mean, you'd hate someone to say,
no, I know.
You look much older than your pictures.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not a good thing.
So this is our last text.
Final
for the
one
night.
For the night. What do we have?
It's from Liz. She says wrong coast, Liz wrong coast. I don't know if that's a typo or what it is, but can you talk a little bit about NASA's Cassini craft grazing the rings of Saturn?
Oh, what a great thing. It's coming to an end.
It's awesome.
It's been out there for 12 years. It's running out of fuel, but it's going to now start diving into Saturn, getting close, but it's going to go through the rings. And let's hope it doesn't hit anything. But what an exciting technology. I mean, we really are as a species, Tom. We're brilliant people.
When I read about that, I went, oh, I'm so excited to see this. A, they had like
Can
a graphic.
Can you imagine where we'll be in 100 years? Which on this, you know, which in terms of time is nothing.
And the biggest drag is we're not going to be here.
Well,
I don't
think
tell me you're going to live to be 255.
No, I'm not going to live to be 205.
But you know what? On the other hand, you never know. What if they...
Would you want to live to be 205?
If technology... has been so that they can like almost rebuild you and you feel great again. Remember the Twilight Zone one where the old people went to get the bodies and they didn't have enough money, so only the one could do it? Do you remember that?
Well, here's my theory.
Okay.
Live every day like it's your last.
Oh, you have to.
Simple as that.
You have to.
Don't waste one day because it could be your last.
Yeah, you know have what? To.
All right. Be well. Have a good weekend, Tom.
Okay, you too.
Let's take some final calls here. We've got Kevin in New Orleans waiting for us. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, George, man. How you doing, buddy?
Good, and thanks for holding so long. Sorry to keep you on
hold. Oh, man, no problem. I'm used to calling in to talk shows. First time I get to talk to you, though.
Perfect.
I've talked to every other host but you.
I was just so in New Orleans about a month and a half ago at an Oswald conference.
Oh, were you? I was going to ask you. That was going to want to be one of my questions. Do you ever come down and do
it? Yeah, I was there, and I think they're going to do it again next year. So yes.
Nice. That's awesome, man. I also too. I wanted to compliment you on that old "Come All Ye Faithful." I'm a musician as well, and a DJ, and I've heard you do like an Elvis song.
Yeah.
I've always thought you had like a swooner. You know,
like a Sinatra. That's my stuff.
Sinatra. But you sound like Pavarotti on that, man.
I did. That was a different.
You sound like you can do opera. That's a lot more range than, you know, than what I originally thought you would have.
Not all bad, huh, Kev? Not bad.
Not bad at all, buddy. But my main reason to call him tonight is earlier y'all was talking about stuff y'all got, people got bit by and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, I was like you when I was a kid. I've always had turtles and reptiles. And as I got older, I got more and more dangerous, whatnot, you know?
Yeah.
And eventually I had a baby alligator.
Oh, my gosh.
About 18 inches long or so. And I had some buddies of mine over, and they wanted to see him. So I picked him out the tank. And he's always super friendly. Never really bites. Tap on his nose, he'd open his mouth. Well, I'm showing him, you know, how friendly he is. So I put him up to my... by my face, and I tap him on my face. Well, he clamps onto my nose.
Oh.
And just like that turtle, they don't let go.
No. And those had little sharp teeth, right?
Yeah. Once a reptile bites, They don't let go of the purchase.
Did he pierce your nose?
No, because he bit, but I didn't freak out and try to pull him off. Had I done that,
You would have scraped your nose. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it would have been pretty rough, I think.
Oh.
But I used to have a baby snapping turtle. Probably about the size you could fit in a nice size coffee mug.
They can get mean.
They can get mean. And I used to let him bite me on the pinky. And I'd hang him off my earlobe and stuff. But I had a 4.5-inch alligator snapping turtle. And even though he was 4, I would never let him bite me. Even at that
time. He'd snap you.
Put him on the ground, he'd chase you. He would literally come after you. And he's only 4.5 inches.
Wow.
At the time. And, you know, they live for hundreds of years.
I think the greatest thing I did in science like that, I used to raise tadpoles, and I used to just be fascinated with how their metamorphosis would be, where they'd get their little hind legs, their tails would start shrinking.
I agree. Some of the most coolest things are in nature.
Oh, I love it.
The fact that a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, his whole inside turns to mush, and then he comes out an entirely new creature.
Oh, it is. You know? Too bad we can't do something like that.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. I was talking about living to see what be in the future, you know? There might be a way in the next 20 years or so that we can kind of download our conscience into an artificial...
Oh, that's right, and it becomes you.
And it would be you. Or we can do clones.
Yep.
And do brain transplants.
They're going to do, Kev, some amazing things. Thanks for the call. We might have time for another call or two, and that will be it. Let's go to a real quick one. Julie in California. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
Hello. I've got about a minute for you. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, I just wanted to give you a call, George, because I didn't have a phone. I hadn't changed phones, but I was listening to you on Thanksgiving night.
Uh-huh.
And at the third door, it happened to be Ian.
That's right. He was amazing, wasn't he?
Yes, but the strange thing is I'm sitting alone in my apartment, and he says something about a parish priest had paid him to call, and some strange things happened whereby he said something about the name of a woman by the name of Estelle.
Yeah, that's what he called himself, Estelle.
Right. And then he also said that he said, you know, Stell, which means star. And then he also, and I knew an Estelle that has passed away. Her name was Estelle Knapp years ago. And there's a whole story behind this. And I actually had found out, I believe, that he was from New Jersey, and New Jersey was mentioned. And then you mentioned something about when you were in Detroit, and I had no idea you were in Detroit.
Born there.
And something about piles of snow. I guess some children.
Oh, that wasn't. We're out of time here, but I want you to call in again, Julie, if you want to finish that on our next open line show. But yeah, that was a tragedy in Oakland County, Michigan, where kids were found murdered, sadly, and their bodies were put in the snow.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. Turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know, and I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century, your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Go in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.